I speak to the name of one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was Christmas Eve when old Boudreaux gathered his family in his pick-em-up truck, heading to the Episcopal Church for midnight mass. When he got there, he was late. There was nary a parking space to be had, so he continually circled the block and he prayed, "Lord, I am not a good churchgoer. Have pity on me. I have my family with me. If you'll just give me the gift of a parking space right now, I promise, I'll go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. I'll be a tither." And Clarice looked at him and nodded, and he said, "And I promise, I'll give up my Jacques Daniel forever." Then a miracle happened. A parking space opened up. Boudreaux bowed his head and said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for listening to me, but never mind, I done found one." Gifts. We recognize them. We like gifts, don't we? Christmas Eve is that magical time for gifts. Children kneel under a lit Christmas tree. They shake carefully the wrapped Christmas packages. They try to figure out what gift could this be. Perhaps a new doll, a train set, a video game. Then, of course, the adults, we get in on the fun too. And Christmas Eve is that gift that happens once each year in the middle of life. We smile a little easier. Life is a little lighter. Our problems are a little further off. Even the air smells different on an eve like tonight, does it not? Our memories seem to sharpen. We recall Christmas Eve's past with family and friends. Christmas Eve is that time of the year when we really think of others. A poor person stops us in the parking lot, asks for a few bucks for food, and for some strange reason, we give it to them. It's Christmas, after all. Our hellos, our handshakes are warmer. It's Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is that special gift where we hear the story of the very first Christmas, a story of a gift given in a backwoods country, in a small dusty town, in a darkened stable, a gift placed in a manger on a bed of straw. The same straw that an hour before had farm animals nibbling on it. But it was Christmas Eve. And this is the first Christmas. And it was time to open a gift. Not to be opened by kings and queens. Not to be opened by priests of the temple. Not to be opened by the owner of the stable. But a gift to be opened first by lowly shepherds. Those outcast of society, those deemed low, religiously unfit. Shepherds tending their flocks, an angel appeared and seemed to say, "Go, go and see your Christmas gift." And so the shepherds went. They bent down on their knees and looked. Their Christmas present had been wrapped in swaddling clothes. The present had been placed under the tree of Jesse, as the prophecy had foretold. And they must have felt like we feel this evening, at peace, with hope, embracing love. By early morning, the shepherd's gift had been unwrapped. And we will unwrap all our gifts by this time tomorrow. The shepherds departed, and their lives were changed forever. But by this time tomorrow, will our lives be changed forever too? Once our Christmas gift has been unwrapped, the wrapping paper collected in bags, our new clothes put on, the new toys played with, the answer for many is no. The world will return to normal, whatever that word normal means to each of us. We go back to school or housework, or we just live life. We go back to our problems, go back to our homes, and soon the rain will come next week, the wind will blow next month, and Christmas Eve will be packed away. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like the shepherds who unwrapped the gift placed in swaddling clothes, We can unwrap the gift of Bethlehem not once each year, but every day of our lives, if only we would see tonight as the first eve of many to come. If only every day we would try to be the people that we are at this moment. If only we would put others first. If only we would love people a little easier, smile a little more often. Every day, opening the Christmas gift. Come home every day and thank God for what you have received. Even a simple parking space. Opening the gift every day makes us Christmas people, people of the incarnation. But how, just how do we become those people? 100 years ago, a Presbyterian minister, Henry Van Dyke, wrote about keeping Christmas. He said it's a matter of our understanding of what it means to be Christmas people. Let me paraphrase what he said. Are you willing to forget what you have done for other people and to remember what other people have done for you? Then you can keep Christmas. To ignore what the world owes you and to thank what you owe the world, then you can keep Christmas. To close your book of complaints against the management of the universe and look around you for a place where you can sow a few seeds of happiness, then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to stoop down and consider the needs and desires of little children, to remember the weakness and loneliness of people who are growing old? Then you can keep Christmas. To stop asking how much your friends love you and ask yourself, do you love them? Then you can keep Christmas. Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world, stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death? Then you can keep Christmas. And we need to keep Christmas every day. But here's the secret. We cannot keep it alone. And that is the best part of the gift of the babe lying in the manger. It's not a gift meant for one person, but a gift to be shared by many. So if we are to keep Christmas each and every year, each and every month, each and every week, each and every day, then we must share this Christmas gift with others. When the old clothes go back into the closet, the blankets of winter put away, don't store them anymore. Give them to the poor. When you pass a bell ringer at the mall, don't just nod your head. Drop a buck or two in the kettle so that others can be fed. When the destitute walk in these doors of St. Paul's, let's welcome them and share the gift of Christmas. And most of all, and this is the hardest, we must share the gift of Christmas with those that do not believe as we believe. Homilist King Duncan tells a wonderful Christmas story. He says that Alan Abramsky and his family in Roanoke, Texas, were host of a rabbi from Russia in an exchange program around Christmas. He took them to their favorite Chinese restaurant. Throughout the meal, the rabbi spoke excitedly about the wonders of America in comparison to the bleak conditions that he faced in Russia. And they all had a good laugh. When they finished eating, the waiter brought them a check, presented each of them with a small brass Christmas tree ornament as a seasonal gift. They laughed even louder when Abramsky's father pointed out the ornaments were stamped "Made in India." But the laughter subsided when they saw the rabbi quietly crying. Concerned, Abramsky's family asked the rabbi if he was offended because he had been given a gift on a Christian holiday. He smiled and he shook his head and he said, "Yet I was shedding tears of joy to be in a wonderful country in which a Buddhist gives a Jew a Christmas gift made by a Hindu." That is what God wants. That's what he wanted when he placed Christmas Eve in a manger, to share the gift of compassion, to share the gift of love with sinners and saints of light, with Buddhists and Jews and Hindus, with believers and agnostics. We are to tell them there is hope, there is peace, there is love. And that gift is not just for the shepherds who first opened it. God does not want his gift to be open only once each year. Every day of our lives, he wants us to open the gift of the incarnation. May we all say, God, thank you for your present. May each eve of the year be Christmas Eve for every one of us. Merry Christmas, everybody.